Have you enrolled in that deeper school? You know what he just sang? Deeper, Lord, deeper. The song just before that, we sang, Lord, I don't want to be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease. That's what you said. Have you ever complained that it was a little hard? You just sang, almost said, I want it to be hard. I want to be a soldier. I want to be deeper. Did you mean that? Excuse me. Thank you to those of you for your prayers for me and your encouragement. Did you have a little time to worship God this morning? Don't raise your hand. Don't put yourself forward. Just have a hug. Did you have a little time for that? I did. And I got a blessing. Did you get one? Yeah, don't raise your hand for that one. I did. There's something about when you put God in His place, He honors. Young people, my wife blessed me this morning with a little, she left the room and shut the door. Bless her heart. And the sun was coming out. And I had a beautiful sunrise. Some of you see that? You raise your hand on that one. A beautiful sunrise. Do you know that God is painting sunrises 24 hours a day? You know that? And He's not just painting one. He's painting millions of them that look different from different angles. You ever try to paint one? I just marveled at God a little bit this morning. That's our Father. Did you have any repentance this morning? Raise your hand around me. Ask the questions to make us think. We had a good message last night. It's a beautiful gift He's given us of repentance. That's a beautiful, He calls it a gift. Anyway, this morning, I'm on suggestions for prayer. Okay? Yesterday, suggestions for loving God, and today's suggestions for prayer. Brother Leonard mentioned last night that a move of God can be traced, as a quote, to a kneeling figure. That concept has always challenged me every time, and did again last night. I burdened these days that God would move in some specific situations, people, myself. And Brother Leonard reminded us last night it can be traced to a kneeling figure. Nick, are you a kneeling figure? Yeah, just ask myself that. So, young people, in general, young people like things to do. And they have visions. They want to accomplish. Anyone who doesn't have a book, but please raise your hand. We've got a servant here in the middle willing to give you one. I'm going to encourage you to get one today. Yesterday, you probably could have taken notes. Today, maybe, but in a couple of days, I don't think you'll be able to handle all the notes. So I gave them to you. Anyone else? Okay. Looking for things to do. And so I think that's a beautiful thing. I want to give you a few things to do, but I was challenged, just as I mentioned last night. Many times the things we're given to do aren't the things that we wish to do. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
That's very common. Yeah. The things that we really wish to do, we aren't given to do. Work one more hand over here, brother. The things we really wish to do, we don't get to do. And the things that we're given to do, we don't always wish to do. Now I've not made that confusing. But I think you get the point. But you know what I think is a key? The people who take the things they're given to do with both hands will be given more to do. You know what I'm saying? Those who are willing to take the things that they may not, that's not what they really idealize to do, that they do them. Jesus made it clear, right? He who is faithful in that which is least can also be faithful in that. So, young people, I have one for you. And you already know what it is as you look at the title. Enroll in that deeper school. And one of the key ways to do that is to learn to pray. Oh, but my, give me something to do, right? When thou prayest, Matthew 6, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Brother Leonard said, God loves secrets. You've done this, so I don't really think it's lifting myself up at all, because you all do it too. But I just enjoyed the little comment my wife made the other day. You know what? We're getting to do something. She and I were getting to do something nobody's going to know about. But God sees. And I believe God honors it. Okay? Again, you do it too. So I'm just... But just to revel in that a little bit. Thank you, God. I get to serve and do something nobody knows about or sees. Amen. Just God. And sometimes we know about it. Sometimes we don't even know about it. That's another too. We have functional service. But at that time, we were just kind of enjoying the concept that we get to do something that nobody else knows and God sees. I think done with the right heart, that's a beautiful aroma to the Father. Go to your closet, and when you have shut the door, don't raise your hand that you worship to God this morning. I guess I just told you I did, didn't I? Wow. I know some of you did too. But we're not raising our hands that we went into our closet. No, no, no. We're quietly going into our closet and we're shutting the door. That's me and God. And that's a beautiful thing. Do you believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails a little? Do you believe that? Everybody's trying to figure out how to answer that question, right? Availeth a little. That's not what it says. But I'm going to encourage you and me, young people, how much we really believe that is not by how you respond to me or not on your head, but it's your life. Your life, my life, is showing whether I believe that or not. Just to go in the business world a little bit, if you knew working this job, it availed quite a bit. You know, it's not a problem to bring in a paycheck. This job, it doesn't avail a whole lot. Okay? It just brings in half a paycheck. Okay, young men? The one brings in a good solid one. The other one brings in just a portion of one. And you can't get by, I'm sorry, without families and all that. You probably don't understand some of that pressure quite yet as much. But the one just brings in, which one are you going to do? I realize there's other factors involved. But say the factors are all the same. Which are we going to do? The one that avails a little? Or the one that avails much? Go practically. Which one are we going to do?
Much. That's simple. If you believe that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, I just gave you a job that can avail much. And you and I can kind of shrink from it, right? I want to encourage us. There are three motivations. If you can follow me along, what I'm saying, okay? Right here. There are three motivations, and I'm not going to spend real long on this. In John, I'm going to read John 14:13. This concept doesn't always come out. In light of what I've encouraged worshiping God, and I'm going to hit on that a few times this week. It's something that's standing out to me these days. John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do it. That will I do. Why? So that you can receive blessing? Is that what it says? It says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So there's something about prayer here, that one aspect of it, I said there, one of the reasons for prayer is for God, the other is for the prayer, that's me, the one praying, and for the prayee, the one I'm praying for. But this first one is, God is glorified when we grab a hold of this concept of prayer and we pray. God is glorified. Did you know that? We talk about worship. We talk about, you know, wanting to live our lives for Him. One of the ways to do it, pray. Pray. The Father is glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We also know, and I'm going to use a couple different scriptures here. So the prayer, 2 Corinthians 3:13 through 18 is where I'm going to go on this one. 2 Corinthians 3, I don't think I mean 2nd, do I? Yes, I do. I was at the wrong place. And we're just going to go... And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. You remember that? Moses put a veil over his face. Why did he put a veil over his face? Because there was something shining. And the people couldn't look at him. Have you ever seen anyone like that? Neither have I. But there was something glowing in his face, so he put a veil. Why did his face shine like that? Why? And there's a lot of reasons, so you won't be wrong. It's not just one here, but why? I think that's key. Because he was with God. And there's something about being with God that changes the one who's praying. It's not just for the one I'm praying for, but it's also for me. In fact, I honestly think that's one of the biggest reasons. But anyway, as Moses was with God, he went into his closet up on a mountain. Can we call that a closet? It was just him and God, right? So I think that can work as a closet. We find Jesus, where'd he go many times? Up on the mountaintop to pray. So I think that can be a closet for us. And so here's Moses. He's going up into the mountain and he's meeting with God. And this prayer, this time with God, changed Moses. And we're looking at it in a physical way, but I know it changed him other ways also. As we pray, young people, it changes us. As you truly worship, And we'll get what I mean by prayer. The word is involved too. As you do that, it changes you. And it changes me. Have you enlisted in that deeper school? It changes you. So here we have in front of us an exciting opportunity. Well, I should go on, I guess. And then we have the pray-e. The one we're praying for. Three motivations. One for God. And there's more. You could go very broadly. But God is glorified. The second one, it changes me. And the third one, I get to help change others through prayer. And I want you just to turn to Genesis. And we're going to look at this as just an example here in a little bit. But this has just been a blessing to me many times. Genesis chapter 19, verse 22. Haste thee! Escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. This is an angel talking to Lot. And he's saying, Lot, get out of here. Haste, be quick about this. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. And so again, we have these angels trying to get Lot out of the city. Then the Lord rained fire and brimstone, rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, verse 25 of Genesis 19, those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that were that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back. Do you see that? We all know this. His wife looked back. Behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of the furnace. And it came to pass. So here's an angel, right? Before we get to this, a little bit of a punchline here. It came to pass, and then I stop, right? Here was this angel saying, get out. Get out of here. I can't rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. God said it's going to happen, but we can't do it yet. You have to get out. And why do you think that was? Look there in verse 29. Came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Lot and sent Lot out of the midst. It's not what it says, is it? God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst. Okay, I'm going to get excited about that point, but I'm going to hold off here just a minute. Abraham's intercession affected Lot, right? So prayer, God says, I want to be glorified. So as you young people go into your closet and shut the door, God says, yes, I'm being glorified. He also says, yes, I want to change you. And he also says, yes, you learn to pray, and through your prayer, I'll change others. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. You're doing a big job. But Lord, it's all by myself. Nobody sees, right? Big jobs are those jobs where lots of people see. Is that? Do we ever think that? Is that ever a subconscious concept? Big jobs are the ones that lots of people see. God says, I got a big job for you. All alone in your closet. We can do this, right? We have this opportunity. Could you enlist in this deeper school? One of the classes is prayer. Enlist in it. I know you are. Sorry. I'm sure you have enlisted. I'm encouraging you. Stay enlisted. Engage. I've been enlisted for a while too, and I'm still enlisted. Can we learn together? There's beauty in this. The effectual fervent prayer, and I want to emphasize here just a little bit of a righteous man. Did you hear last night? I'm reminding us again. There's beauty in that righteousness that comes when there's true repentance. And we begin to follow and walk in rightness. And it brings righteousness through Christ, His power, through the Holy Spirit that you're hearing about, we're all hearing about here. But there's something about a righteous man. Remember Elijah? That's what this is based on in James. He went and prayed that it not rain, and it didn't rain. Then he went back and prayed that it would rain, and it rained. And God put this little righteous man term back to Abraham, that verse that I wasn't supposed to get too excited about yet. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. I think this brings out a concept that through a righteous man, Lot was saved. And I realize, is it Peter that makes a concept of righteous Lot? But I think this verse brings out the concept, so I'm not denying that, but this verse brings out the concept. It was Abraham that God remembered and took Lot out of Sodom. You have that opportunity. You can save a soul. You can save souls. You can affect the eternal choices of God. Don't go too theological on that one. I don't know how to say that one quite right in just a short time. But you can affect things in that little place where the door is shut and you're all by yourself. Wow. Abraham and God communicating. Lord, Lord, what if there's 50 people there and they're righteous? Are you just going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And so here's God and Abraham communicating. And we know the story. He goes, what, Lord, what if there's, and he goes down 40 and 30 and all the way down. And I know you've all thought of this. What would have happened if he would have just kept going? I'm not sure. Maybe he knew he should stop. And so he stopped. But in this exchange between God and Abraham, because of Abraham's righteousness, righteous Abraham, there was influence with God. And God had influence on him. Young people, you want something to do? Do you get the picture? Oh, but again, that wasn't quite what I was looking for. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. God's not sorry. Here's something for you to do. Enlist in this beautiful opportunity to pray. If you jump back to Genesis 18, a little bit. We have this concept, Genesis 18 and verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? So here's the Lord, it's walking with two angels. Isn't that the term? I didn't actually look that up to jog my memory for sure. But I think that's the term the Bible uses here. There were three of them that came, and the Lord was thinking or talking with those with him, I'm not sure which, but the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Does God ever do that today? Shall I hide from sister so-and-so? Shall I hide from brother Abner's back there? Give me encouraging sound, so I'll use his name. Shall I hide from brother Abner that thing which I do? Do you think God ever has that? I don't understand God, so forgive me. I don't want to bring him too low because he's high and lofty. Thank you, brother. One of my favorite verses also in Isaiah. He's high and lofty. Worship him. And then he dwells two places. With the one, he dwells in the high and lofty place, and also with the one who acknowledges who is high and lofty, and he's humble and broken. I want to learn that. I deviated. I get a downgrade on my score for sharing. That's what they're doing with you young men if you deviate and get distracted, and I just did it. Okay, back to the point. See, I had to come back to the point now. Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Does God ever say, you know, should I hide, and forgive me, I'm picking on Brother Abner. Shall I hide from Brother Abner that thing which I do? God has things on his heart. And it seems like he likes to communicate them with humankind. I like to communicate. My poor wife sometimes, she does it to me too, so it goes both ways. Sometimes we have things on our heart. And you know one of the things we like to do? We like to share it with each other and dump it out. And bleh. Sometimes she gets things that are churning inside here, and sometimes I get things that are churning inside of her. Did you know, I think God likes to do that too. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I have something in my mind. I have a plan. God's in control. He's doing things. And he says, you know, I'm going to communicate with Abraham. Why? He wants to communicate with you those things which he's doing. He has that kind of heart and perspective. But he does it with a righteous man. I need to move on here. I'm going to get a couple more of these verses. Jeremiah 15:1. I like a couple of these verses. They just make me think. Jeremiah 15:1, just a little bit. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go. And here's Jeremiah. He's communicating the heart of God, and God is done. These people have rebelled. These people have not followed him, and he's saying, done. I'm done. Is this a Sodom and Gomorrah picture here? They deserve judgment because of their choices, because of their lack. The judgment, they deserve it, and done. And then he reaches back and pulls out two people. And I think in one sense what he was trying to do is pulling out two of the most godly people in the past that people would recognize, and said, even if Moses, did I get this right? Yes, Moses and Samuel stood before me. Did you get something out of that? If there's a righteous man and he brings a request, God takes note. That's what he's saying there. Now he did say, even if those two godly men stood before me and said, God, have mercy on your people, I'd say, nope. Done. They've gone too far. But the little thing that I get out of that is, God says, when righteous men stand before me and give requests, I listen. Isn't that what he's saying there? Isn't that one thing that comes out of that passage? I listen. Jump to another beautiful one, Ezekiel 14. He says this numerous times. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14. you'll find this 1, 2, 3, 4 different times here in Ezekiel 14. So I'm not going to read them all, 12 to 20. But he says it 3 times. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. And he says that in verse 16, 18, and 20 also. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job, and he reaches back and he lifts up before the children of Israel, though these three men stood before me, even with their righteousness and the way I know them and the way I walk with them and the way I commune with them, these men like that change things around them. They affect things. Though these three men stood before me, in all of their righteousness, they would save only their own souls. Do you see that same concept? God reaches back, grabs godly men. And could I give you one thing, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I haven't looked at this lately. I have in the past, so I think I'm right. One of these men was still alive. And it's not very often we have God exalting a man that high while he's still alive. It's kind of dangerous. Did you know that? It's kind of dangerous. But God supposedly, I think, and again, you tell me if I'm mistaken here, Daniel was still alive when Ezekiel was preaching. And here he was before the king, and you watch that man. If you want to study godliness, study that man. To me, he just oozes godliness. And God says, yeah. Job, long time ago. Noah, long time ago. Preacher of righteousness that didn't budge and by faith for 100 years, he kept on doing what most people called him crazy to do. Maybe everyone. And then also, there's one still alive back there. Daniel. Anyway, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth
much.
Do you believe it? Don't nod your head. Do you believe it? Your life is showing it, whether you believe it or not. Lord, help us. Can I give you some practical suggestions for prayer times? You see that here? I'm going to run through. This is definitely not exhaustive. But young people, engage and enlist in this beautiful, beautiful class. Not only is this class for you, it's for God and it's for others. It just works on itself, and it's an exciting class. Does it take discipline? Does it always reward instantly? Does it always feel? Talking with one of you brothers yesterday, feelings? No, there's not always feelings. But feelings aren't our guide. They're our follower. That's what they're supposed to be, okay? They don't go on before. They're supposed to follow on behind. Anyway, I'm going to give a few practical suggestions. What do I have? I have 11 of them here. I'm not going to go through all 11, I don't think. So that's some of why they're here. Sorry. But enlist in this exciting school and begin to learn. And I'm sure you are learning. Sorry, it sounds as if you haven't enlisted. I believe you have, but I want to excite you with various opportunities. And maybe I'll just say first off, you see in the little gray box up there, prayer encouragements, choose a certain time, a certain place, and a certain plan. Without a little discipline and schedule in things, and you just follow your feelings, you remember what I just said? They're supposed to follow, not lead. And if you follow them and let them be the deciding factor of, if your feelings are the deciding factor of the time, the place, and the plan, you know what'll happen? You all know what'll happen, right? Feelings just aren't consistent. Mine aren't. Whose feelings are consistent here? Sorry, my hand's not up. It's not a safe guide, okay? Those are to follow after. And they don't always follow right after. Sometimes it feels like they're way back there, right? Keep going. Sometimes they come racing up and overwhelm you and tackle you. Enjoy those times when the feelings are in the right place. Enjoy those times when you worship and the feelings are there. Grasp that. Love it and enjoy it. But don't judge your spirituality on the feelings and rate it according to that. Unsafe guide. Beautiful follower, used rightly. Certain time, certain place, a certain plan. Do that. I remember, and God honors that. It doesn't always happen. Here's one where the feelings came and kind of tackled me, okay? We like those times, right? So I was a young man. I was going with my family. We were traveling to my grandparents. And this excitement of really enlisting in this prayer, class was exciting me. And I thought, oh, we're going to travel. And if any of you know one of the worst times to find to be consistent with a certain time, a certain place, and a certain plan, traveling's a rough one. Right? If any of you have done enough traveling. So as a young man, I remember thinking, and I don't remember all the words I prayed, Lord, could you help me? I want to keep this time with you. And it was a time in my life when the feelings were right there with me. And I love those times. The feelings were right there with me. Lord, would you help me to be able to keep this time? And so we were going to stay at my grandparents'. I had two younger brothers that was going to stay in the same room. And that always makes it difficult too. Here I am. We're going to someone else's house. We're given one room. All of the rooms are full. I wonder if it's winter time, because I frequently used outside. So I actually don't remember that fact. So I could have gone outside. But Lord, would you give me a closet? You know, a Matthew 6 closet. A quiet place. And so we went to my grandparents, and I know, you know, you fill up all the rooms, and I'm with two of my younger brothers, and how's this going to work? And I walk into the room they gave us where we were going to stay, and I look around. All right, where am I going to fulfill my time, my place, and my plan? And I see a literal closet door, and I'm thinking, let's see. And I walk over and I open this closet door, and you know what? This closet had a decent sized spot in it. It was one of those rooms where the ceilings go down, and it had a knee wall and this little door. I don't remember how high it was, but you went in through this knee wall and there was plenty of room. And would you know, there was a light in that closet. Not all closets have lights. This closet had a light. And I looked over on the other side of the room, and I walked over to the other side of the room, and there's another door, and I opened the door, and I looked in there, another closet with a light. I didn't need two. I just needed one. And God gave me two. Okay, as I said, it's always nice when the feelings and everything works out just nice. It doesn't always. Not for me. Have a certain time, a certain place, and a certain plan. Some schedule there. Excuse me. The first one, pray your thoughts. This here, I would say, is a very, very common way to pray, and it's a good one, right? You're going to get on your knees, you're going to pray, and you start praying whatever's on your mind. And you dump your bucket, sometimes we say. You just start praying, Lord, and then you bring up things in life, things you're wrestling with, things other people are wrestling with, things you're thinking about, things you should think about, right? And you just pray, and there's some of us have a lot of things on our mind. And so sometimes that can take a little time. That is a healthy way to pray. What do I call it here? Pray your thoughts. Do that. And I think I say here, get on your knees. I don't even know if I make a point of this. I use different postures. I find that helpful. Engage my body with what I'm trying to do. If I'm wanting to be at awe of God, I might get on my knees or even flat on my stomach and just marvel and worship. I find changing your posture helpful. Sometimes if you're sleepy, walk back and forth. I like the concept sometimes, and I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, but find something where I can actually lay my Bible up higher, and then I can walk and pray. Or my prayer list, whatever. And I can come past and there's something, you know, my Bible's up here, I can read it, and we'll get to that. But praying your thoughts. I'm getting a little distracted, aren't I? I think this should be a common way we do this. But if this is all you do, I think it'll lack depth, purpose, discipline. So I'm going to go number two. Use prayer lists and write out specifics. Use prayer lists and write out needs and people. And so I put, if you see this little diagram, if it's helpful to you, I put this little diagram where I have, what do I have? 1, 2, 3 circles, but I guess there's 4 entities there. Prayer lists about yourself. That's healthy. God, I need this working in me. How many of you have ever felt like God spoke to you about something in your life, and you wake up 2 months later and you realize, I forgot. Anybody ever had that? I have. Oh, I thought I wanted to spend time praying about this and working on this. Maybe even someone spoke into your life about something and you forgot. Put it on a list, okay? And if you take that list and make it a circle that goes further and further with your influence out, what do I have in the middle there? Me. And write down some things about yourself, about your family. Sometimes you might just write family, and then you pray through them one by one. Or there can be particular needs and particular ones you want to lift before God at times. You can go out to the church and your local church and go to the other people you relate to other parents, to your leaders. You know, make a list here. And you go out to the world. There should be people in the world also that we're praying for. God, there's someone there in Sodom and they don't see it yet. And we're interceding on their behalf. So use lists and people and issues. You know, use that. Another very common one. Number three, you can use acronyms. And I encourage, as you're doing these things, use various and different ones. Be consistent. I don't remember how I try to say this. Use consistency and diversity. And what I mean by that is, don't just try one day and try something else the other day. No. Stick with something for a while, whether it's a few weeks. But then I find it healthy. Change and try another method, aspect for a while. Use acronyms. Most of you have probably heard of ACTS, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration, C stands for confession, T stands for thanksgiving, S stands for supplication. And go through that and adore. Maybe that's similar to worship. And you just think about God, right? That's healthy. I'm going to keep emphasizing that. We'll spend a little more time on that maybe tomorrow, the next day, something. Adore Him. Worship Him. Confession comes back here. You need to have those times. God, You know where I'm missing. You know where I need to grow. And you dump your bucket and you just say what you're wrestling with and you say and you confess. Make sure it's all out. All. None of those, God likes secrets, but not those things you try to keep secret from Him. That doesn't work. He knows all the way through it. And for you to not pray about it and not confess it, it's the dumbest thing you'll ever do. Is that right? I have to think on that one for sure. Superlatives are scary to me. But can I just say that's dumb? Really, really dumb. If I would walk up here, I don't know, if this probably isn't a good illustration, but it's what comes to my mind, with a big splatter of tomato sauce right here. Splat. But I try to not think that I ever did it, not say anything about it, and I would walk around up here and I wouldn't acknowledge it. Probably one of the first things I would do is probably tell you, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. Please excuse this big splat of tomato, whatever it is, here on my shirt. Then we could all rest. But if I just try to act like nothing, do you know what? Half the time you're going to be thinking about, what is going on with that fella? That big splat of God sees all the way through. And you try to hide something or cover it up, there's a big splat of tomato ketchup smack on the middle of your shirt. And God, I just want you to know, and you go on like normal, and what you're saying is, I don't have tomato on my shirt, Lord. That's what you're saying by ignoring it. Lord, I don't have any tomato on my shirt. Splat. I don't have any tomato on my shirt. Splat. He sees all, in fact, He knows all the tomato spots and you don't see them. You know what I'm saying? I have so many tomato spots on me. I know it. And that's what I have to be careful not to get too discouraged with. I know there's all kinds of splats all over me. And He sees all the way through it. But He's working on them. And when I see one, best and only and obvious thing to do is tell Him about it. God, I got a splat on me, and this is the way it is, and this is how I am, and You just dump it out. Confession. Thanksgiving, A-C-T-S. Thanksgiving for the T. Just a little guidance, okay? A little structure so that your feelings aren't the one leading, but you're making choices about what you're doing so that you're guiding your feelings. Thanksgiving. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Right? Just count them sometimes. And I don't mean see if you can come up with 99, but maybe you should try it sometime and see how many you can come up with in 5 minutes. And thank God for them. Young people, we're very, very, very blessed. Physically, spiritually, and you can go on and on and on. Be thankful. Have a thankful heart. Supplication and the S. Supplication, we're coming and now we're interceding, asking, communing about issues, and you supplicate. Anyway, ACTIVE, another acronym. We're going to skip that, but various acronyms that you can use. This one here, number 4, is one of my favorites. I still use it sometimes. But again, I'm so sorry. Maybe some of you know the first time. Many of you have heard this more than once maybe. But the first time I used this one, I was challenged to use the Lord's Prayer as a guide in my prayer time. And the challenge was, there are 6 points, it divides into 6 points very easily, and I think it's beautiful. I'm sorry. Divides into 6 points very easily, and I think there are 6 very deep principles here. And this challenge was lifted up to me in a message, and I was, I think, 15. That if you spend 10 minutes on each point, you've prayed for an hour. And don't use that if that overwhelms you. 5 minutes on each point. You have half an hour. But I'll just give you my illustration. And again, forgive me for those of you who have heard it. I got up that morning with a little bit of an excitement under me. I've never prayed for an hour, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to stretch myself. I don't know how to do this. I've never done this. And I'm going to try it. So I get up, set my alarm. I was in a bedroom with 2 of my brothers. There was 3 of us in one bedroom, so I needed a place to go. I think it was October for some reason. I think I remember that. I guess it was kind of cold. So I went outside. We were living in town at that time. And I went outside out to our Chevy Astro van. And it was October in Idaho. And so it was a little chilly. And I took a blanket with me. And I took my Bible with me. And I'm not sure what else. And I went out to this Chevy Astro and opened the door. And I don't remember what time it was. But it was in the morning. And I shut this door, and I'm sitting in this October morning, and it's a bit dark. I must have taken a flashlight, and I put this blanket around me, and it's a little cold. All right, here goes. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sorry. Number 1, right? That's 1, the first aspect. And you know what it is, by the way? That's worship. There's a whole bunch packed in that first little 6 points. It's not just 6 points in the Lord's Prayer. There's lots, but if you just encapsulate it, hallowed be thy name. All right, Lord. And so I took a songbook too. That's right. So I opened it up to a song and I started singing. And I didn't sing for the sound. I'm not that good of a singer to enjoy myself that much. I sang and I was looking at these words. I think I probably sang. I don't remember. But the common ones are when you're trying to worship. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Anyway, you know how the song goes. And I sang through a song. And then I worshiped God for who He was. And I also had a watch along. That's right. A few things I had to have along. And I looked at my watch. It's only been 5 minutes. Got 5 more to go. All right. Another song. Worship the Lord a little more. 6.5 minutes. A little more. 8 minutes. Good enough. Let's move to the next one. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Oh, we can spend some time on that one, right? God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I prayed for myself and I prayed for others. God's kingdom would come and not yet. And so I dig in and all right, what else can I pray for? And still not yet. Dig in and so I just share that with you. Don't be discouraged. We all start somewhere, right? And may thy kingdom come. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. All right. I don't know how many minutes it had been, but I didn't quite fill up the full. I wasn't at 20 yet. 10, 20. But we're going to move on. Anyway, I kept going that way with the Lord's Prayer and used it as a guide. And do you know what? As a 15-year-old boy, I got done with that 1 hour. And had I just had this deep whatever, all the emotions, all no. But you know what? I took a step. I took one little step and I began to exercise myself. Exercise yourself. I was beginning in this school of learning to pray. Right? And I'm just trying to give you some suggestions here. Okay? Learning to pray. Enlist. And you don't have to do the 1 hour thing. You don't even have to do the 30 minutes thing. But enlist. So in this point number four, you can easily divide it 6 different ways. I think it's deep. And the more I spend time on it, the deeper it becomes. We heard on Sunday, a brother encouraged us, talked about the use of the Lord's Prayer and actually quoting the Lord's Prayer. I think that's a very healthy thing to do. I actually think there's so much depth in it, though, that if all you do is quote it at the end of your prayer as a closing prayer, you don't get nearly all out of it with all's there. But I'm not against that. I'm supportive of that. But there's depth there that is a model prayer and gives tremendous amount of points there. You meditate on that. Meditate on those 6 concepts and use them. Number 5. On the next page here. Number 5, pray through the Word. And I have a little diagram there. And you all, sorry. You all maybe again have seen this before, but I believe it has affected the way I process and think about prayer. And so we have in this first diagram, the common view is we have prayer, and that's me talking to God. And we have the Word of God, and that's God talking to me. And I think that's a very true view. When we read the Word, God's speaking. Someone once said, if you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. If you want to hear God speak out loud, read the Bible out loud. Is that difficult? There's truth in that. This is God, and He's speaking to us. And so this view of when I pray, I'm communicating with God. When I read His Word, God's communicating with me. That's a right concept. I feel like I put here, and again, I'm open to correction here. Maybe I shouldn't say fuller view. Maybe I should say another view. I don't know how to say this for sure. But a view that has affected me is if I realize this Word, God speaking to me, and me praying to Him can be combined and be made working and flowing together. And prayer becomes me praying to God, and that He begins to communicate to me. And the Word not only communicates to me, but I use the Word to communicate to Him and guide me, even in my prayer time. I find tremendous blessing in unifying the two. Let me give an illustration. And just for the sake of illustration, I'm not going to pick out a scripture, but I'm going to simply, whoops there, I was going to say open my Bible, and one of the first places it went was to my concordance. So we'll skip that one. So I'll pick here a little different. So I'm just simply going to open it. Wherever you are in the Word, and you can take this type of prayer concept, and I open it up to them, up to this place. And so if I go to the top of this page, I'm in Acts 13. And again, I'm doing it random for the sake of illustration here. Again, that's some of why I like to have my Bible to place and sometimes walk. And so I might be walking and it's, Lord, it's morning. Here I am. Good morning. Brother Leonard Martin, not Gunther this time, shared an something one time a while back with me that I haven't forgotten. He says, I try to say good morning, Lord, before any other thought comes to my mind in the morning. The alarm goes off and I'm getting out of bed. Am I thinking about the day? Am I thinking about what? And he tries to just say good morning, Lord. Side note, another distraction. Point number 5 that we're looking at here. The one of praying the Word. So I opened it up here. And let's say you're reading through the Word, and if you're beginning to use the Word as a way to stimulate your prayer time, Psalms is a really good place to start. It's fairly simple. You won't be stuck with some verses you don't know what to do with. We'll see if I get stuck here. But let's say I'm in Acts 13 this morning, and so I read, and after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Lord, there was a space of time, and this is, I believe, would this be in the middle of a sermon here? Yes, Paul's stood up and he's preaching. And so Paul's preaching. Well, there's got to be meat here. So after that, he gave unto them judges. God's giving judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Lord, thank you for your mercy that you give judges. Did you know God gives authorities? And so you're praying, Lord, thank you. You give judges, authorities. Wow, Lord, who are the authorities of my life? And you pray for some of those authorities. God, you've given them to me. Just like in the Old Testament you gave judges, you've given authorities to me. He gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years. Wow, God's patient, isn't he? Now I'm talking to you, but maybe I should stick it. Lord, you gave 450 years. Lord, let me listen to your judges in my life. Every man did that which was right in his own mind and judges, but I don't want to do that. What are you saying to me through the judges in my life? Until Samuel the prophet, oh yeah, there's something godly about Samuel. He made some mistakes. We could list some of those off. But Lord, you also give godly men to speak to your people. Who are the godly men in my life that you want to speak, that are trying to speak to me? Who is that, Lord? Brother so-and-so on Sunday, what he preach about? And so, that's right, he preached about this. God, am I applying that to my life? And so you're taking this scripture, and I could go a long time on that one. You see how you can really chew on that one. And afterward, and so sometimes I'll read a verse, and I'll pray about it a little bit, and bring up those kind of thoughts. 21, and afterward they desired a king. Uh-oh, Lord. Sometimes people don't like the authorities you bring, and they want to set them up the way they want them. Okay, do I have any of that? Remember, young people, this isn't a sermon to you on authority. Sorry. I'm not sorry. This is what I opened up to. And afterward they desired, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Saul didn't do so well, Lord. He was humble in the beginning. God, am I humble? You're looking for a man that's humble. That verse a brother just read this morning. Dwell in the high and lofty place. God, you also dwell with the humble. Am I humble? Have a humble and a contrite heart. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in these things. You know what? There's a hard thing. Whatever that hard thing is in my life. Are you trying to work through that? Do you see what I'm doing? I'm taking the Word of God and I'm praying. I'm processing my life, what God may be doing in me. I'm processing other people. Do you see how I can just keep going? And when he had removed him, he removed Saul. Lord, please don't let me come to a place where you have to remove me from your place of blessing. God forbid. Right? He had to do that to Saul. And you know what he did? His eyes began to go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself. Now I'm preaching at you instead of praying. To show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect for him. And he says, there's one, David. Anyway, Lord, why did you like David? He was a man after my own heart who would fulfill all my will. God, am I after your heart? You can take that two ways. Are you after it pursuing, or are you like it? You know, two ways that after can be translated. I like them both. And you pray about that. Am I after your own heart? Do you see how God can use his word to guide you in your prayer life? I find tremendous blessing in this type of prayer. And again, as I said, if you want to begin, Psalms is an easy place. That is David praying. So you can take that and begin praying it and applying it to your life. How does my life fit into this? But the key is, one of the keys is, do take it and make your life a part of this. And apply your life to this. And pray your life to this. Number six, pray scripture for individuals and situations. I'm going to move on. That overlaps with the one a little earlier. We're going to jump number seven, number eight. Steps of intercession. Concepts at number eight here. Three steps of intercession. And frequently we don't get past step one. And this is a concept of learning for me. I'm sure it is for you too. So three things that came to me in the past as I was wrestling in Zanzibar saying, God, what can we do? And I'm supposed to stop here in 1 minute and I'm going to give you all some time to jot something down. But we'll at least touch on this one. What can I do, Lord? And I was looking for something to do. And here I am in Zanzibar, saturated with Muslims, is when some of these concepts came to me. Lord, how can I help minister Christ to these people? Mickey, the effectual, fervent prayer. Oh, yeah. Right, Lord. That's something I can do. There was another time when God gave me something to do that I didn't really want to do. And it was a dear old lady who wasn't... How do I say this lovingly? She didn't catch on very quickly. Let's just put it that way. Really, really slowly. Lord, have spend time with Bible studies with her. Anyway, as I stepped in and was willing to do that, other opportunities came. In some of that time, I was wrestling. How do I intercede? And so three concepts that came to me. Number one is pray generally. The thoughts and burdens on your mind. Yes, pray for those people you know about. Pray for those the situations and the individuals. And so you begin to intercede. You're getting under a burden for someone else, not just yourself. That's what intercession is. And you learn to crawl under there and begin to lift that burden and pray someone else, some other situation. And remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. And so you pray for them. Number two, I begin to ask God in my intercession for specifics and then pray specifically. Lord, sorry, so-and-so, you know, bless him, convert him. Amen. My sibling, this or that. My parents, this or that. Sure. But then pray specifically. God, what should I pray specifically for them in the next day or the next week? What's something specific about their situation that I can pray for? So I'm praying for this lost soul. Lord, is it possible you could bring them by in the next week? Here I am in Zanzibar praying for these Muslims. Could you bring Ahmed by in the next week? Just somehow, let me cross his path either as I'm going and coming or as he comes by the school here. And you pray a specific prayer. Ask God, what can I specifically pray? I think it's helpful to try to get something real specific and tangible. And then number three, ask God, what can I do or say about this? This person, this situation, is there anything I can do or say outside of my prayer closet? We're believing in that. We're doing that. But anything else specifically? And I think I wrote here in my own thoughts, it was sometimes it was simply sending them a text message or we had various booklets and tracts. You know what? I'm going to try to get that one to him and ask him to read it. And then the next time I see him, I'm going to ask him what he thought about that one. Whatever the specific thing, what can I do and say to enter in and become co-laborers with God in this thing that I'm interceding for? True intercession, very, very commonly, is a step into action, becoming a part of it. Young people, prayer is not learned in a classroom, but in the closet. You don't learn prayer from what I just said. I'm just giving you some suggestions. You learn it in your closet. Go learn, young people, okay? Go learn. I just gave you a few suggestions. There's more in here. Again, I figured I wouldn't get through them all in my time. Father, would you bless these dear young people? Oh God, we have an army here. Would you teach us all to pray? Teach us to pray, because you said it avails much. Bless you all. You have 2 minutes. Write something. You do that for me? What's sticking out to you? What do you want to change? What's anything on your mind? Write at least a sentence down. You do that for me? Process. Pray quietly. God bless you all.